Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and love from the Lord Jesus. Amen. The text is from this little letter of Jud. Hear the following words again. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now, and forevermore. Amen. Quite an enthusiastic ending to his letter. And this is just perfect for the ending of this church year. Just this little letter of Jud tells us what to do until the coming of Jesus Christ. He dictates how our attitude should be, one of ascribing glory and praise and honor and power and strength to God forever and ever, because he was, he is, and he will be forever. Quite something. Very enthusiastic. To him who is able to prevent you from falling, he says, to him be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority. And he speaks with such enthusiasm. The only appropriate response, really, from us to our God who meets here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday with us is, one, to give him praise and thanks for his daily gifts in our life. So, on the last Sunday in the church year, today, we gather here just as we gathered on the first Sunday in Advent earlier this year. At 8 o'clock here this morning, we had the 183rd service. This is the last, the 184th service. Out with the old, in with the new. The new church year with only 183 services because the Board of Elders, in its wisdom, decided to cancel Thursday, which falls on the 26th of December this year, the day after we had three services on Easter, on Christmas Eve, and one on Christmas Day, Wednesday. So Thursday, we will not get to meet with our God. But Sunday, we'll all be back together again. So, dear friends, 184 divine services, all properly planned, as you can see in the pages of these booklets. There is no flick suggestion or choice on my part. They are all planned. They all have pedigree. They come from the old ancient Christian church. They've been filtered through 2,000 years of Christianity. Nothing is happenstance. Everything follows a plan. Out there, we have a huge electronic sign advertising the times and the days and the themes of our services. That's a huge blessing. There were times when our brothers and sisters had to hide in caves, in underground cemeteries, the catacombs, where it was smelly, to worship God. The same God that you and I worship, the same God that meets with us every Sunday here. This divine service of the Holy Trinity. Have you thought about this? The Holy Trinity at your service? That's more than we can bear, and yet sometimes we thoughtlessly say the words in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, as if it were like a magic little potion or a little formula that gets the works started here. It's much deeper than that. You are gathered here in the name of the Trinity to be serviced by God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What does the Father do for you? Oh, he just keeps the planets in check and the earth producing food and milk and honey and water for us, for our sustenance. He keeps our bodies functioning. He dictates when the heart beats and when the heart stops. The Father administers all things for us, and the Father created us and then sustains us. That's only the Father. And what does the Son? The Son keeps you safe. He commands his holy angels to have charge over you so that you will not strike your foot against a stone, heaven forbid. But they not only prevent you from falling, they also defeat the enemies that want to attack you. Martin Luther said that God is so gracious that he doesn't even allow us to know all the dangers to which we are exposed daily. We do not have any knowledge of the size and the lethal weapons that the old evil foe aims at us every day, the spiritual missiles that he fires at us and the angels fight them off. Star Wars on a spiritual level. My friends, the Holy Trinity is at our service every Sunday. And the Holy Spirit works in you faith, that you can believe in God, that you read this and say, "Thank you, Lord, for your word in my life." This is not a book to be understood mentally. The mental part, the rational part, serves the spiritual part, does not dictate faith. It informs faith. And here is the information that forms, that nourishes faith and keeps it strong. The Holy Spirit, the Trinity at your service. And I think when we meditate about these things, they acquire more flavor, more sense. When we see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit interested in our little lives, in me, individual, nothing compared to the great heavenly bodies or the beings that God created. And he minds me, and he comes to me with his love. We don't call these worship services. We call them divine service. The service accomplished and delivered by God. The service done by God. That's a divine service. And so you and I come here torn to shreds by a life of attacking, being attacked by Satan out there on Sunday, and God mends us and he heals us and he strengthens us. And then he wraps his arms around us and says, "You are mine. Do not be afraid." Divine services. The Trinity at your service. The Lord has prevented us from falling. We are still standing. And he will present us blemish free before him on the last day when it really counts. And these children that were up front are ready. They know their Savior. And that's the only thing that really counts at the end. Trust in, believe in Jesus Christ. But that's not something that you do even. That comes from inside of you because you are such a fine human being. No, this is a gift of God too. And you were given that gift at baptism. And you were given with baptism the forgiveness of sins plus the Holy Spirit that teaches you in all things that are noble and beautiful and spiritual and heavenly. So, you, my dear friend, are saved. You are saved by grace, by the grace of God. Something that we cannot even understand, and yet it's true. So if we think about these things, they make life not only more bearable, but actually profoundly joyful. Joy so strong, so deep, so rooted in us that nothing can rattle that from us. That joy goes even when we face obstacles and enemies and all kinds of losses, even tragedy, that joy stays there with us. the joy of knowing that we are in God's keeping, in His hand. Through that joy, we are enabled to, as Jude says, show mercy to the unbelievers. Don't say those pagans and Gentiles. They are the subject of our love. When we leave this parking lot, there are two plaques saying, you are now entering the mission field. That's where the mission field starts, right at the gates. This is the church. But that is the object of the church's work. We are active out there. Yeah, we sing and we pray and we share our faith and we study our faith here. But out there is where it's more effective. A flashlight at noon with the sun shining brightly is barely perceptible. But in the darkness, it makes all the difference. We are enabled to fetch some from the fire, as Jude puts it bluntly. Fetch a few from the fire, the quenchless fires of hell. You can do that. And how do you do that? Simply proclaiming the word. And they'll come. Following Jude's advice in how to spend our time waiting for the last day, we carry out the task of the church, plain and simple. And the task of the church is to proclaim the gospel to all nations, making disciples and teaching them to obey everything that Christ has taught us. And if we are hesitant or a little bit afraid, fear not. Jesus said, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. So let's go about our task joyfully in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which is greater than all human understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Let us now stand and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.